Playoffs? We'll talk about playoffs. Playoffs.
You got barbecue back there. Hurt my feelings.
I'm here with my family.
You kidding me? Playoffs. I just hope we can win a game.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Gridiron Jabroni. This is episode number 5, episode 5. Per usual, I'm your host, Kevin Duran, and I have a slate for you guys today. I got a lot. I want to kind of dive right into it. Firstly, happy 50 straight days of football as of yesterday. Yesterday, Wednesday, started 50 days of straight football. Every day, there's going to be a college or pro game. Sunday, Monday, Thursday, pro. And then Maction starts up soon. You got Mountain West. The SWAC has started their games. Who played yesterday? Jacksonville State and Montana State. New Mexico State beating Florida International. Jacksonville State beating Montana State. Montana State hit only 1-5. Jacksonville State, obviously 5-1. Whatever. A little under the weather. Let's just clear that up right now. I don't know if you guys can tell, but if you all can, let's just ignore it. We're pushing through because there is a lot to talk about this weekend in college and pro football. What are we, week 5, week 6 of college football, and week 5 of NFL football. How about them Texans? We'll talk NFL in a little bit, but how about them Texans? Just want to say that. Looking good. Let's see how many games I have to preview for you guys. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Eighteen football games to talk about. And I might give you some top 10s, some top 5s. We'll see. We'll see where this episode goes. This is going to be a long one. We might cut this into 2, depending on how long this one runs. It's a lot, you know. This is a great time of the year. This is the time of the season where we find out who's real, who's been faking it. Because this is about the time where teams start to fall apart. These undefeated teams, these teams that are supposed to look so great, they start getting their test. North Carolina, for example. I have a couple others, Missouri, that I'll talk about, Kentucky, Louisville, Fresno State. All these teams are getting tested. A&M, Alabama, Georgia even getting tested with Kentucky, considering how they played last week. We're going to preview all that, but that's big. It's a big week in college football for that reason. Going into week 5 of the NFL season, a lot of teams are starting off good. You got a couple of winless teams and a lot of 2-2 teams. So this is kind of where you start to feel it out. This is where the teams start to separate. So that is what I have planned for the episode. Just a big preview episode. But before I do that, I want to give my top 10. Let's start with college. I have my top 10 for college and my top 10 for the NFL. But how about I start with my top 10 for college and then do college preview, and then I will give you my top 10 for the NFL and then do my NFL preview. So my top 10 college football teams at the moment, coming in at number 10 is Alabama, simply because I have Texas ranked in my top 3 and their only loss coming to Texas. Other than that, 4-1, the only 4-1 team I have on this list, I believe the only 4-1 team I have on this list at the moment. Yeah, and I think they have a big game coming up. They have the chance to still win the SEC West. They have the chance to win the SEC. I think the loss against Texas can be their only loss. It's a non-conference loss, and it won't hurt them too much, especially in conference play. It won't hurt them at all. So, Bama at number 10. At number 90, Caleb Williams. That offense is really hyped. As far as the Pac-12, they have a chance of running the Pac-12. The defense is weak. So, for now, they're at number 9. I could see them falling off to 15, especially with a loss this week. Especially with further losses, I can definitely not even see them in the top 25. Depends on what that defense does. But for now, they're looking good. And for now, that offense and Caleb Williams, all that Heisman hype around him, it's getting him by, and it's getting him into number 9 in my top 10. Number 8, I have UNC. I like UNC a lot. I've been a Drake May fan. I've been vocalizing my support for Drake May, and I want everyone to know I'm on that bandwagon. I think UNC has a chance of a potential, I mean, at least a ACC championship visit. I don't know if they'll beat Florida State. Florida State is that one team, I think, everyone in the ACC is worried about, and I think Florida State is that team that can represent the ACC in the playoffs. But if there's anyone to knock them off, it's going to be UNC. I have them for number 8 right now. Hey, if they keep winning, they're going to move up. But I'm going to preview their game later. This week's game is their big test. It's going to see if they're real or not. I think this is the time where we check if UNC is the real deal. Penn State, I have at number 7. Penn State, they're kind of like UNC. They've kind of been flying under the radar, just getting wins. It's their spot to lose. I don't have much to say about Penn State. It's one of those things right here, like this gray area, UNC, USC, Penn State, even the next one. It's their spot to lose. It's kind of a gray area. Very flexible, up and down. I don't really have much to say about Penn State. Number 6, Ohio State. Same thing, that it's only theirs to move up. They're kind of just waiting at this point for somebody to fall off. Because at number 5, I have Washington. I think they are the big one in the Pac-12. I think they're going to win the Pac-12, especially with that disappointment in Utah. I really liked Utah. I had a lot of hype around them. I mean, Cam Rising can come back and potentially lead them to the Pac-12 championship. But I think it's Washington's Pac-12 championship to lose. I know I say that a lot about a lot of things, but, I mean, it's true. It's for Washington, it's their spot to lose. Like, you know, it's their – they should win the Pac-12. They have every reason to win the Pac-12. I don't know if they will. A slip-up or, like, one mistake – can lose them the spot and in the Pac-12 championship or even just the Pac-12 championship. And a slip up, a loss, especially a loss, will drop them out of the top 10. Especially, maybe not the top 10, but easily the top 6, especially with all these undefeated teams that we have so far. So Washington is just like Ohio State, just like Penn State. Really just got to move up the ladder. I think they're in a good spot. They're worthy of being in the playoffs, but there's only 4 spots, and that's why I have Washington right now. Number 4, I have Texas. I know a lot of people have them number 2, number 1 in some cases, number 3. I think there's a lot of hype around them. I don't want to get into it too much. I don't want to get into the rant, but I don't love the I get the Texas hype. You know, they beat Alabama. They have a good recruiting class. They have a good roster. Sarkisian is trying to prove himself. You know, they have a chance of making the playoffs. You know, it's their spot to lose. Take a shot every time I say that on this episode, but it's true, because that's where we're at in this time of season. This time of year, it's everyone's spot to lose. And that's exactly what Texas is at. However, I get the Texas hype. I get it. However, I don't understand how you can talk all this hype about Texas and then easily turn around and say the Big 12 is bad. Or easily say that Oklahoma hasn't played anybody. The Texas win, the Alabama win is huge, especially because I still have them in the top 10. But I really only have them in the top 10 because I have Texas at number 4. You know, if Texas wasn't at number 4, Alabama would have been in the top 10. Texas is only at number four because Alabama is a top 10 team. It's one of those things that kind of go hand in hand. Other than that, Alabama, if you want to say Oklahoma doesn't play anybody, neither does Texas. And they have a cupcake schedule the rest of the way. The biggest, Kansas, I thought was going to be a competition. And it was for a quick minute. Oklahoma, I think, is their last test. It's the last test they have for the season. There's some upsets along the way. Don't get me wrong. I think Kansas State is good. They had some hiccups. They're one of those teams that I think if they beat Texas, that they beat Oklahoma, if they end up winning the Big 12, it's just going to eliminate other Big 12 teams from the playoffs. And I think that's kind of what's going to happen with the Big 12. Teams like Kansas State, teams like Oklahoma State, if they can figure their situation out, they can upset some people. It's going to be a lot of underdogs winning games and knocking off these big Oklahoma, Texas teams, you know? I think that's what's going to happen with the Big 12. But I have Texas at number four, undefeated. I get it. You probably can go undefeated the rest of the season if you beat Oklahoma, but can't say the Big 12 is that bad, because let's be honest, if you think about it, this Texas team is just another version of the Cincinnati team that we saw that made the playoffs. I think this Texas team is just another version of the UCF team that went undefeated and didn't make the playoffs. But the only reason that everyone's hyping them up is because they're Texas. And I'm only saying this because everyone's saying the Big 12 is bad. Like, I need the two narratives to make to have similarity. If we want to hype up Texas, let's not talk down on their division. Because if it was Cincinnati still in the American Conference, you would be doing the same thing. Oh, they're undefeated. Oh, Cincinnati beat Alabama, but they're playing trash teams the rest of the season. Texas beat Alabama, but they're playing ass the rest of the season. That's what we're doing right now. And I'm not down in Texas. I get it. They're good. I think they're good. I want to think they're good, but it's hard for me to think they're good when everyone is saying that their conference is bad. That's all I'm saying. At number three, I have Florida State, a team that is good, that is playing good teams. And, I mean, I think they're playing good teams. You could say the ACC is just as bad as the Big 12. Let's be honest. But Miami, North Carolina, NC State. Okay, maybe not as bad as the Big 12, but still competitive. It's not on that SEC Big 10 level, but Florida State is. They beat LSU, who isn't that impressive. We found that out. LSU is not as good as we quote unquote think they are. I knew they were going to be ass. Put that on the record. Go back to the archives. I said LSU was going to be bad. I said Jaden Daniels trash. Family, Brian Kelly ass. I've said this, but Florida State, number three, because they're undefeated, and they've beaten LSU. I don't know. The ACC, they have competition. It's just Texas, but on another level. That's where Florida State is at. I don't know if I could see them winning a playoff game. I don't know if I could see them beating my number two and my number one. But they're good in their division. Florida State is really, really good in the ACC. And that's why they're number two. Or number three. Number two, Michigan. The Wolverines are also undefeated. Again, cupcake schedule. We're hearing that a lot with these undefeated teams. I don't know if anyone's noticed that. It's cupcake schedules, but they're in the Big Ten. They're going to eventually play some teams. Let's check Michigan. Who they play this week? They played Nebraska. They demolished Nebraska last week, 45-7. There was a little bit of hype around that. They play Minnesota this week, 19-point favorites. Should demolish Minnesota. Indiana, Michigan State, Purdue. Their next big game is going to be November 11th against Penn State at Penn State. Probably, no, it's an 11 a.m. game. But, yeah, cupcake schedule. You could say that about, Florida State. If you think about it, let's go look at Florida State's schedule real quick. The only difference, I think, now that I'm thinking about it, I probably should have switched Florida State and Michigan. But Florida State has beat LSU. They beat them 45-24. Other than that, you beat Clemson. Okay, I'll give them that. You have Duke coming up. That's your next big game. Miami. All right, Florida State does have a harder schedule. I will probably end up moving them up, considering if they stay undefeated, they'll get moved up. Virginia Tech this week should be an easy win for them. I think they are 24-point favorites for that one. For now, I have Michigan at number two. I'm changing my narrative as we speak. I thought Florida State, I don't really know where we're at right now in college football. It's a mess. It's a mess, and I'm trying to figure it out. For now, I have Florida State 3, Michigan 2. Next week, if everyone wins out in the top five, I'll probably still switch it. But for now, Florida State 3, Michigan 2. And at number one, same thing. Could easily be switched considering how they've played. But Georgia at number one. And the reason I'm keeping Georgia at number one is because it really is their spot to lose. Because a lot of people said they had a cupcake season coming up, and you could still say they do, but the SEC East is looking a lot more competitive than I think we thought. And I think the SEC East is more competitive than the SEC West this year. I think there's better teams. I'm not saying every team is better. I'm just saying I think there are better teams. Missouri has been flying under the radar this whole season. Kentucky, who will test Georgia this week. Georgia did struggle with Auburn last week, an SEC West opponent. Florida, not looking as good as we thought. Tennessee's not looking as good as we thought, but they're still good. They're still, again, gauntlet teams. You're not going to – I don't know. If it's not Georgia, I think the winning team coming out of the East is going to have two losses. I just want to say that. But Georgia for now is at number one. But it really is their spot to lose. You have Kentucky this week. I believe they have – they're off next week. And then they have – am I tripping? Am I 2 weeks off? Sorry. They basically have 2 weeks off. They're not off next week. They play Vanderbilt next week. And then they have a bye week. So basically 2 weeks off. They should be smooth sailing into November. Florida in end of November, week 10, they play Missouri. I think that week 10 matchup should be an undefeated versus undefeated matchup. But let me not hype up Missouri too much and look like a clown if they end up fluking and becoming a joke. So that was my top 10. I know that took me like 15 minutes to explain. But my top 10 is Alabama at number 10, number 9, South USC, number 8, North Carolina, number 7, Penn State, number 6, Ohio State, number 5, Washington, number 4, Texas, number 3, Florida State, number 2, Michigan, and number 1, Georgia. But the way this season is looking, guys, this could easily switch. Next week is probably going to be same teams, different order. Look, depending on how the season goes or this week goes, because this week going into the preview, a lot of upsets can happen. A lot of potential upsets can happen. Tonight we have Sam Houston State playing and Little Caesar University. I don't know. It's not good games tonight. I'll watch them, of course. It's going to be on. I'm going to be watching them, but I'm going to bet on them, obviously. But do I know much about the teams? No. Is it going to be a competitive game? Yeah. Every game with like random teams are usually pretty good. I'm just going to say that. But our big game, the first big game is going to be Friday. And the only game on Friday is going to be Kansas State and Oklahoma State, which is the first game I'm previewing for you guys today. We have one, we have 12 games to preview today. And the first one, obviously, is Friday, October 6th, 6:30 ESPN, Kansas State, Oklahoma State. Kansas State is 3-1. However, their only loss coming from an undefeated Missouri out of conference play. So that one loss obviously hurt them in the AP polls. But undefeated in Big 12 play. And Oklahoma State has been underwhelming. They should have been a lot better. A 2-2 team that should easily be coming into this game undefeated. The run game hasn't been there. It finally started picking up last week with the win over Iowa State. What happened to Oklahoma State? What happened to that team that was a few years ago? I don't know if anyone remembers. What were they, 6-5, 6-7? Right out the playoffs? Like, they were just out the playoffs 2 years ago. I don't know what happened with that. That team that had potential just kind of fell apart. The run game isn't there. They've had a bad start. They had 121 yards last week against Iowa State, but you're playing Kansas State. They have a solid run defense. They're only letting 2.5 yards per carry on run plays. So that run defense is going to lock down the run. Your best bet, if you're an Oklahoma State fan, if you're going to watch this game betting on Oklahoma, is the air game. Look for that quarterback to have some yards, to have some numbers up. If you want to win, that's the only way. Kansas State has one of the worst, I think the worst, Big 12 pass defense. So the only way you can really win this game is by airing that ball out, and that has not been working all season for Oklahoma State. Something needs to break this funk. I don't know. The spread is Kansas State minus 12. I don't know if Oklahoma State can beat Kansas State, but if Oklahoma State still wants a chance at the Big 12 championship and to have a good season, they need the win here. But putting my Kansas State, I don't have a Kansas State bias, but I am a supporter of them. I think Kansas State should run away with this game. The 14-point spread, a 12-point spread, I think it should be 14. 10, no, I would say 10 at least. Kansas State wins by at least 10. I think they can comfortably win by 14. I think unless something happens and the receiving corps steps it up, the quarterback game steps it up, I think Kansas State should lock that game down. Moving on to an ACC game to preview this weekend. North Carolina is hosting Syracuse. The undefeated 4-0 number 14 North Carolina Tar Heels are hosting the Syracuse Orange. Syracuse 4-0, but a sneaky good 4-0 team. I think Syracuse has the potential to potentially run away with this game and run away to a 9-1 week 12. Their only loss coming to Clemson, who is Clemson, but Syracuse, if they want to still make a name, actually, never mind. I just realized Syracuse is going through the gauntlet right now. I thought they played Florida State later in the season, but they are going through the gauntlet. Clemson, North Carolina this week, Florida State next week. North Carolina and Florida State, both away games. I originally had my thoughts as, man, maybe Syracuse can at least cover, or, you know, against the spread. I don't think North Carolina could cover the 9-point spread. That's what I was thinking. But now I think Syracuse gets pretty demolished. I do like North Carolina. I've been saying Drake May is something. I think that offense can light up Syracuse. Where I was originally going to say bet on Syracuse plus 9. I'm going to go ahead and switch up on you guys right now and say take North Carolina plus or minus 9. And next week, go ahead and take Florida State against Syracuse. I think Syracuse goes through the gauntlet through here. I think after that, they'll be fine. You got, what, Virginia Tech, Boston College, Pitt. Yeah, you'll be fine after that. But you're not coming out of this with any wins. You're coming out of this with 3 losses in a row. It's going to hurt your morale. But that's what happens when your scheduling's just dog water like that, I guess. I don't know. Syracuse, North Carolina, that's at 2:30 on Saturday, ESPN. Colorado, Arizona State, a Pac-12 matchup that Colorado is favored to win. Arizona State is 1-4, Colorado 3-2. However, listen, I'm saying this now, Colorado is favored to win. But somehow, some way, they're going to win this game, and the media is going to they're going to do things to Colorado that I've never seen before, never heard of before. They're going to praise Colorado, Deion. And I don't have a problem with Deion. I don't have a problem with the team. Growing up, I liked Colorado. I did, and I knew they were bad, and I wanted to go to Colorado until I saw how expensive out-of-state tuition was and all that. But, and I'm poor, so, like, I'm broke, basically. Anyway, I'm not dogging Colorado. I'm just saying, you can't go from the worst team in the NCAA in the whole FBS to having all this media hype. And I think Colorado is going to be a bowl game team, and they're going to make a bowl game, and it's going to get the most watched bowl game of all time, probably. But for now, I think they're going to win, and I think it's going to they're going to cover the spread. -4, they'll win by 10. Arizona State's an ass. Everyone knows this. And then they're going to hype up. The media is going to hype up Colorado again for the next week or two until they lose again, and then it's going to be this whole storm of just chaos, and I don't like it. It's annoying. I'm tired of it. Colorado wins by 10, Pac-12 channel. No one's going to watch that game, but somehow it's still going to get a lot of attention. Kentucky, Georgia, that's going to be a 6 o'clock night game. Georgia is hosting Kentucky. Both are undefeated at 5-0. Georgia number 1, Kentucky number 20 in the nation. Georgia is a 14.5-point favorite, 15 points. Has Georgia been exposed? Auburn is not great. They got a great run offense. They got a great running team. A&M shut them down. A&M shut down Auburn. However, Auburn fought tooth and nail with Georgia. And if a couple things would have been different, Georgia would have had a loss. Georgia wouldn't be in the top five. However, they're walking away with the win, but they're coming into Kentucky, who I think is a better team than Auburn. But Georgia has Brock Bowers. That's it. That's really it for that offense. They have some pieces here and there, obviously. I'm not hating. I'm not saying that the whole team is bad. But the way that they abused Brock Bowers against Auburn, I don't know why they didn't change their game plan to shut him down. And if Kentucky can shut down Brock Bowers, I think Kentucky can run away with this game. I think Brock Bowers is the game changer here. And if Georgia can utilize him and get him going and he has a fantastic game, I think Kentucky loses and Georgia wins by at least 21. However, if Brock Bowers gets shut down and Georgia can't figure it out, I can see Kentucky running away with this, and I can see Kentucky representing the SEC East later in the season. Or Missouri. Let's not forget about that. But if Georgia can figure it out without Brock Bowers, they're going to be scary. And that's the point I have, and that's why I want to watch this game. Because I think Kentucky knows you got to shut down Brock. But now it's time for Georgia and all that recruiting classes and all this team you have and this coaching you have, Kirby Smart. It's time to step it up and see what happens when you shut down Brock. That's only if Kentucky can shut down. I said we, like I want to see Georgia lose. I'm tired of this Georgia hype. I don't like seeing dynasties for too long. 2 years is too much. No one wants a three-peat. So I'm rooting for Kentucky. I already have money on Kentucky. So we, I'm going to say we. All right, I bet on them. I have Kentucky against the spread. I have Kentucky plus 14. Because I still think, like I said, if Georgia can turn it up, Brock can get shut down, but they can still utilize the rest of their team. Georgia's a scary team, and we might see a three-peat. So this is going to be a test for Georgia this week. The next game I have is Notre Dame and Louisville. Notre Dame 5-1, Louisville 5-0, 25 Louisville. But yet Notre Dame is 5-1 and ranked number 10. Suspicious. Louisville hosting them, but Notre Dame is a 7-point favorite, 6.5. However, I think Louisville kind of proved themselves last week against NC State. I think they can beat Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame is, they have some talent. I like their quarterback, Sam Hartman, but other than that, I think Louisville is the better team. I simply think Louisville is the better team. They're good. I was hating on them. I watched their game last week. I will be honest. I was hating on them, but I watched them last week, and they looked good. They're not the best team. I'll say that. But a 13-10 win over NC State, a good defensive game. The 56-28 win over Boston College was a good offensive game. You already beat Georgia Tech. If you beat Notre Dame, the only big, I mean, never mind. Your better game, your competitive games aren't until the end of the season. Duke, and then Miami and Kentucky back to back. But I think Notre Dame is a winnable game. I think Louisville's good. I'm saying they're good. I'm giving them the credit. I'm not saying they're gonna end up undefeated or in the playoffs, or even in the ACC championship. But I think they're better than Notre Dame, and I give them – they're my underdog pick of the week. I'll tell you guys that right now. Spoiler right now. Underdog pick of the week, Louisville over Notre Dame, 25. I never liked Notre Dame. I don't like the independent thing. Sam Hartman's good, but the defense is blah. Louisville over Notre Dame by 3. If you don't even feel that, at least take Louisville plus 7. At least get the cut. At least expect them to cover the spread. Fresno and Wyoming. Dude, I missed a whole slate of games. I was like, we're almost done, but I missed a whole slate. We'll go back to those. Fresno State, Wyoming. Fresno State is 5-0. Wyoming is 4-1. Fresno State is number 24. Fresno State is a 6-point favorite. However, if I could pick another I might pick another underdog. I might have two underdogs because I'm taking Wyoming over Fresno State. Wyoming they beat Texas Tech. They kept it close the other day with Texas. The other week with Texas. They're sneaky good for a Mountain West team. I like Wyoming, and I don't like the Fresno State pipe. So I'm going to take Wyoming over Fresno State. That's a 7 o'clock game on Fox. I think that's going to be a really good game for some smaller group of 5 teams, you know? So Wyoming over Fresno State for that one. On to the next one. I'm kind of powering through these now. On to the next one. Arizona-USC. I don't even want to preview that one. I want to preview Cal and Oregon State. Oregon State is a 10-point favorite. They just beat Utah. They're sneaky good in the Pac-12. Cal is 3-2. Oregon State is 4-1. Oregon State 15 in the country. I would rank Oregon State as sneaky good. I think that win over Utah is just going to boost their confidence. They're going to have a lot of momentum coming into this game. I think you come out of this game 5-1, potentially top 10 team. I think they should bump up top 10. 3-2, Cal is not a terrible team. It's not going to be another cupcake win. It's not going to be like, oh, they beat a nobody. Cal is a good team. They've had a couple of hiccups on the road. I mean, they're a middle-of-the-road team, above average. So I think a win over this should bump them up to at least 12. But I think with some upsets coming along the way, like Notre Dame, potentially Georgia, potentially North Carolina, some others I'm about to talk about, I think we could see Oregon State in the top 10 after this week. The final four games I want to talk about I have pulled up. Two of them I'm going to burn through real quick, and that's Maryland-Ohio State. Maryland is 5-0. Ohio State is 4-0. However, Ohio State is a 20-point favorite, and I feel like last year I said the same thing, and I say this every year when Maryland plays Ohio State, because every year Maryland comes into Ohio State pretty freaking good, and then they lose badly, and it's a never-ending cycle, you know? And I think we might expect the same thing this season. The only difference is Maryland looks better than they have in a long, long time. Tua's brother, I don't want to pronounce that name. Little Tua, we'll call him that. He's good. I think he's the best thing on that Maryland offense. He's the only good thing about that Maryland offense, though. But is he good enough to beat on an Ohio State defense? No. And it's going to feed Ryan Day's little stupid ego some more when they beat Maryland by probably 26. They're going to cover the spread. I would take Ohio State minus 20 on this one. I'm an Ohio State hater. I will admit that. And I'm going to take Ohio State minus 20. Ryan Day's ego is going to get fed heavy. And I'm hoping Ohio State has a hiccup along the road. Or they're going to lose to Michigan later in the season. I think that's where we're going to end up. But Maryland, Ohio State, it's an undefeated matchup. But don't look into it too much. 5-0, 4-0, I think Ohio State walks away. At least 20. LSU, Missouri. I have a 23 versus 21 matchup. LSU is still somehow ranked, even though they are 3-2. Keep in mind, Maryland, Ohio State. Maryland is undefeated, 5-0, not ranked. Just want to point that out. Somehow LSU has all this hype around them. LSU 3-2, Missouri 5-0, 11 o'clock game. LSU is a 5-point favorite. Or 6-point, 5.5-point favorite, 6-point favorite. Missouri's undefeated. LSU has lost twice. To Florida State, and then they lost to Ole Miss. Jaden Daniels isn't it. Jaden Daniels can take a hit like any quarterback I've ever seen, but he's just not it. Brian Kelly, the family's over with, brother. It's over. It's over, brother. It's over. I'm over LSU. Three underdogs. I'm taking just underdog after underdog after underdog this week. Give me Missouri, just straight money line. I don't even want to touch the spread. I think Missouri is just overall a better team. I don't know what's going on with LSU, but Missouri is sneaky, sneaky good. Like, a potential, like, let's check the rest of their schedule good. They're going through the gauntlet with LSU and then Kentucky next week. You have Georgia in November, followed by Tennessee, followed by Florida, followed by Arkansas. I think you can walk into next week undefeated 6-0. I think if they can upset Kentucky, they walk into Georgia 8-0, personally. But Missouri, this is, they're proving themselves. They're proving that they're a better team. They're proving that they're no longer that trash team that everyone just looks over. Are they good enough to win the East? No. God, no. Are they good enough to upset some people? Yeah. Kentucky. Yeah. LSU. Not Georgia. Tennessee, probably. Florida, probably. You're going to beat South. Like, they're going to end up with 3 losses at the end of the season. Just 3. Which, for Missouri, is really good. For a Missouri team, 3 losses in an amazing season. And I think that's where they're going to end up. But for this week, I think they beat LSU easily. I think they, by 7 at least. And LSU, Brian Kelly, I don't know who's still holding on to their faith with him. But by this week, Brian Kelly should be on the hot seat. Especially if they lose to Missouri. But if they lose to Missouri by more than 3, I think we put Brian Kelly on the hot seat. Missouri plus 7, or Missouri plus 5.5, of course. But Missouri money line is where I'll take them. And they're another upset I'm picking. That's 3 upsets this week. Final 2 college football games I want to talk about. The Red River. Can't say the S word. Shootout. No longer the shootout. The Red River rivalry. Number 3 Texas host Oklahoma, even though it's in the Cotton Bowl. But it's an 11 o'clock game. Texas is a 7-point favorite, basically. 6.5, but 7-point favorite. Both teams undefeated at 5-0. Oklahoma at number 12. Texas at number 3. Texas has all the hype in the world. All the hype in the world around them. Everyone's, ever since Colorado lost, all eyes are on Texas. However, the Big 12 is ass. Oklahoma has played nobody. Oklahoma, Cincinnati, trash. Tulsa, trash. Oklahoma's played nobody. The Big 12 is ass. Keep in mind, both of these teams are in the Big 12. If you're new to this podcast, you don't know much. The world loves Texas. The world loves Texas. They're the best team ever. They dominate everybody. But their conference, the Big 12, so bad. Oklahoma, bad. Oklahoma, trash. Alabama, the win against Alabama was impressive. I'll give them that. Good win. Great win. But you can't take that. You can't take away from the fact that Oklahoma's undefeated. And they've played the conference games. I mean, they've gone through not as much as Texas. I'll admit they haven't played an Alabama yet, but you're still ranked number 12. You're still undefeated. An impressive win over Tulsa, an impressive win over Cincinnati, an impressive the offense is just looking impressive. The difference between that and Texas is if you look at Texas' scoreboard, 38-6. 40-14, 31-10. None of that happened till the fourth quarter. None of that happened till the end of third and fourth. Alabama was just consistently scoring on this team. I don't know. The scoreboards don't represent the teams. You have to watch the game. It's one of those situations where you just have to watch. The scoreboards do not represent the teams. Texas is good. I'll admit. And if this win over Oklahoma, I'll give them their credit when credit is due. But this is the game they have to win. Oklahoma, this is the game Oklahoma has just been flying under the radar. And Boomer Sooner is going to come up and win this game. And we're never going to hear the end of it after this. I just want everyone to know that. Do I believe Oklahoma wins? No. But am I going to take the spread at 7, 6.5 points? Hell yeah. Give me Oklahoma -6. I'm sorry. Give me Oklahoma. And now it's 6. It just updated to 6. So I guess give me Oklahoma +6. I think they lose by field goal or win. I think there's no way they lose by a touchdown, especially it's going to be a high offensive game. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I don't even know what the over-under is, but probably give me that too. Oklahoma, Texas, it's going to be the most hyped Big 12 game of the week. And the final game I want to talk about is going to be the most hyped SEC game of the week. And that's Alabama A&M. Number 11 at Alabama. Unranked A&M. Again, crazy that LSU is ranked at 3-2. But a 4-1 Alabama A&M who lost to Miami, whose only loss is in Miami, is unranked. A&M hosts Alabama. Alabama's at the time I looked at it, 2-point favorite. Let's go ahead and check on the updates. As I'm recording, Alabama is a 1-point favorite now. So it's pretty much even. It's a toss-up game. A&M, I was hating on Durkin. I was hating on the defense coordinator. I said that defense coordinator wasn't it. There was a lot of things he needed to change. I pointed him out. I said that the rushing defense needed to be better. I said we needed to pressure the quarterback more. I said the secondary needed to step it up. And you know what the DC did? You know what Durkin did? He stepped up the secondary. He started applying more pressure to the defense. He's fixing his mistakes. And that's a lot of things that most coaches don't do. Most coaches won't fix their mistakes. He fixes his mistakes, and A&M looks good. And the way that they shut down KJ Jefferson last week, when you have problems at quarterback, coming from someone who has watched A&M have problems at quarterback, when you have problems at quarterback, simply pressuring the quarterback, someone who's not even confident under center, someone who's not even confident as a leader, especially someone new under center, the pressure hurts. The pressure is effective, and I think with Jalen Milroe. I think all A&M, not all A&M has to. It has to be a perfect game for A&M. It has to be a damn near perfect game for either one of these teams. This is the most even this game has been in a long time. And that's no diss on the teams. That's just saying that this has been a very competitive season. And there is a lot of good teams. It's like we're balancing forces within the NCAA, within college football. Teams are getting balanced. So 2-4-1 teams potentially deciding who goes to the SEC West at the end of the championship at the end of the year, who represents the West. I think this is where we're going to see. This is the game. This is the game. Unless, and this is a big unless because it can happen, because we've seen the hecticness of the first four or five weeks. The winner of this game, you know, barring any crazy incidents, crazy losses, if they win out, they should represent the West in the championship game. Alabama is great. Alabama has Nick Saban. They have that talent around them. The difference is that A&M also has that talent this year. Alabama's always had that recruiting class, that depth, and A&M has always had that one layer. A&M also has that recruiting class and that depth. Alabama has always had that solid quarterback. Well, guess what? They have problems at quarterback. A&M also has problems at quarterback. Max Johnson is a good answer, but A&M technically has problems at quarterback. Offensive line versus offensive line, two good offensive lines. I think Alabama has a better offensive line, but I think A&M has a better defensive line. You know, it's like a very even matchup. I think this is going to be the most competitive matchup this weekend. Alabama has the favor because of their name, because of their, you know, the coach, the prestige, the talent around them. I think A&M has that home field advantage. And I think if the 12th man and if Kyle Field ever wanted to show out and show how strong that atmosphere is in Kyle Field, this is the week, because I think if A&M wants to win, it has to be because of that home field advantage. I think the thing that'll step up A&M over Alabama this week is going to be the home field advantage. And I know this doesn't reach out to a lot of people, guys, but to any A&M fan out there going to the game this week, listening to this, this is the week you have to be the loudest, because Kyle Field is built to be loud. Kyle Field is built to be intimidating. And no one really gets that. No one outside of the SEC understands that. And that, I think, can be a deciding factor. That home field advantage is going to be a deciding factor. If the defensive line can step it up, if that defense can play like they did last week, if you can just pressure Milroe like you pressured Jefferson, defensively you'll be fine. Someone told me you can't pass the ball. The quarterback can't pass the ball when he's on his back. And I say you can't pass the ball when you have two of the best defensive tackles, two of the best ends in the nation in front of your face. If you can shut down the run, I think A&M has. We saw it against Auburn. You can shut down the run. A&M has that run stopping advantage, or that run stopping defense. Secondary is the question at hand, but if you can pressure the quarterback, you don't have time to throw it deep. It's as simple as that. Obviously, I'm a homer. I'm a red ass. I bleed maroon. Taking A&M plus A&M by 10. I'm not gonna bet the game, simply because the money is just not worth it. The odds aren't worth it. But give me A&M. Give me A&M plus 10. A&M by 10. And that's the biggest game of the week. And that's the college football preview for you guys. I have 6 NFL games to preview for you guys. I might just pop those off real quick because we're reaching an hour. And I do want to keep this episode relatively under an hour. I don't mind going a little over, but whatever. Anyway, moving on to the NFL. NFL top 10. Let's start with that real quick. NFL top 10. Starting at number 10. You know what? Let's start at number 1. Because I don't know how everyone's going to feel about my number 10. Number one, I have the 49ers. Just with the way this team is clicking, the way they're playing, the way they're lighting up the scoreboard. Christian McCaffrey had a hat trick in the first half. The Niners are the best team, without a doubt. You can't argue with me on that one. Number two, the Eagles, also undefeated. Again, scoreboard record. Record don't lie, 4-0. Same thing as the Niners, really. Everything's kind of clicking for them. Everything's perfect. The injuries are low. The scoreboard is being lit up, undefeated. Only two undefeated teams left. So, number two, the Eagles. Number three, the Bills. The first loss was rough, all right? I'll admit. But you also played the perfect Jets. You played the perfect version of the Jets. Even though Aaron Rodgers got hurt, all right, within the first freaking four snaps, it was still a perfect Jets. Like, the momentum was high, the fandom was high, spirits were high, hopes were high. Everything was perfect. You played the perfect Jets. It's all right. It's all right. And you bounced back from that, and you haven't lost since. So the Bills are number three. The Dolphins are number four. I don't think there's any other better team except for the three above them. Bills, Eagles, Niners. We saw the Bills embarrass the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins are going to bounce back from that. You can still 1-1 the series. Number five, I have the Chiefs. The Chiefs are good. There's some things they got to work on. The Mahomes threw a couple interceptions last game. Might have to fix that. Still ended up winning. Very close game, though. Did you guys know that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are thing? I don't know if y'all have heard about that, but all that going on with the Chiefs. So I have them at number five. Number six, I have the Lions. Dan Campbell's got something working over there. Because that team is looking good. I like the Lions. Number seven, I have the Cowboys. Number eight, I have the Ravens. Number nine, I have the Rams. And number 10, I have the Commanders. It's still really early in the season. It's hard to top 10 these teams when it's so early in the season. Like, they have yet to play five games. Give me halfway through the season and I'll give better example or explanations. Other than the top five, you can't really say much. They're all about the same. Lions, Cowboys, Ravens, Rams, Commanders, Chiefs even. Like, I think Chiefs down. Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Eagles, Niners stand out. Everyone else can easily fluctuate. It was a bad list, all right? But it's still early, and it's still early. Let's go off these teams real quick. We're running out of time. Cowboys and Niners are Sunday Night Football. This is really going to be this might be the NFC Championship this year. It's too early to call. Cowboys can choke like they always do. The Niners can have injuries like they always do. Both of these teams choke. So, in a perfect world, this could be the NFC Championship this year. The Niners are 4-point favorites. I think with the home field advantage, 4-0, I think the Niners are just the better team at the moment. I think the Cowboys can get better, and maybe they could switch it up, and maybe if they do meet in the future, it could be different. But for now, I'm taking the 49ers on this one. The Chiefs and the Vikings. It's a 3:25 game, a midday game. The Vikings are 1-3 in hosting the Chiefs. The Chiefs are only a 4-point favorite. However, I'm interested in this game because if the Chiefs win, I think we could see the first head coach firing of the season. The Vikings are going to go 1-4 following this loss. I think Kevin O'Connell could be fired following Sunday's loss. An early firing, but 1-4 with the team you have, like you have Justin Jefferson, Kirk Cousins, you have a decent team. There's no reason to go 1-4. So I think that's an interesting game only because a 1-4 with no real reasoning. Because you have the Bengals and Cardinals, next game I want to talk about. Bengals are banged up, though. Joe Burrow's beat the heck up. He's going in 1-3. Cardinals are going in 1-3. Cardinals, I like what they're doing. I like their vision. They just don't have the talent yet. The Bengals, they need a win. I don't know who's going to start a quarterback. The Bengals need a win for morale, for the fans, for hope of the season. I think the Bengals pull off a win. The Cincinnati is a 3-point favorite, even though Cardinals are the home team. But don't expect much from the Bengals until later in the season. I think they're going to be a second-half team. Dolphins, Giants, I think the Giants are coming off an insane loss. All the reason I'm looking at this game is simply because I like the Dolphins a lot, and I think the Dolphins coming off of that embarrassing loss against the Bills, I think the Dolphins are going to have a crazy game against a very destroyed Giants. I think it's time to get rid of Daniel Jones or get a new quarterback and start over. Panthers and Lions. Lions are looking good. Panthers are looking trash. And the Panthers need to win because the Bears currently hold the number one and the number two pick in the draft because they have the Panthers pick after that trade. So the Panthers need to win or else they're going to lose this trade. They're essentially going to give the Bears the number one and the number two pick if they don't step it up, because the Bears are already tanking for a top pick as it is. So the Lions and the Panthers, the Lions are a 10-point favorite, and that is fair because the Panthers are ass. Bryce Young is good, but there's nothing around him. He has nothing built around him. There's no foundation for him, and there's no team. I think the Panthers lose this game, go 0-5. Lions start 4-1, and it should be a good one. Final game as we reach the final minutes of the podcast, Texans, Falcons. And this is the final game because I said it, and I've been being right, and it's feeling nice. It's a nice feeling. The Texans look good. I said let them get their shit together. Let them figure out the team. They're young. Let them pay their dues, and they'll get it done. Two in a row. First time in forever, 2 years since we've had a two-in-a-row wins? You're walking into this against the Falcons, who really, if you can stop Bijan Robinson, you can stop the Falcons. I think everyone started to figure that out. I think the Jaguars figured that out last week. Desmond Ridder sucks. Desmond Ridder is not the answer for the Falcons. You might as well put in Marcus Mariota. Desmond Ridder, he's not the answer. I think the defense can step it up. The defense looks good. Jonathan Greenard looks crazy. I think Will Anderson is a beast out there. I think Will Anderson can have a standout game. If they can shut down Bijan Robinson, I think Desmond Ridder can lose the game on his own. I think Atlanta is a 2-point favorite coming into this game, but Houston has that momentum. Houston has that. C.J. Stroud has yet to throw a pick. C.J. Stroud is like a top three quarterback in the NFL. I think the Texans will win. I'm taking the Texans' money line. Give me four underdogs on the week. Give me four underdogs. All right. Texans by three. Falcons should drop to 2-3. Texans will move to 3-2. The chances of Texans winning the AFC South are getting better and better each week because the teams around them are getting worse and worse. The Titans look awful. The Jaguars got that win over the Falcons, but they don't look too great either. Anthony Richardson looks good, but the Colts are just a mess of an organization. I think as long as the Texans can keep up the momentum, keep stepping it up, and keep getting better every week, the chances of them winning the AFC South are getting better every week. And that's not something you expected with a first-year coach or first-year quarterback. So keep an eye on that. I'm a diehard Texans fan, but I'm not saying hop on the bandwagon. I'm not putting all my money in. I'm not going all in on them. I'm just saying keep an eye on them. But that's it. That's the big preview. I tried to keep it under an hour. We're reaching about that time, though. So, you guys know what to do. Like and share. Subscribe. I don't have any pick. I have the four underdogs for you guys. That's my picks this week. It's all underdogs. I can read them back off for you guys real quick if y'all want. My picks for the week before we wrap it up are, let's go to college. I have three college and one pro. College, I have... Give me A&M over Alabama, Missouri over LSU, Louisville over Notre Dame, Wyoming over Fresno State, and Houston over the Falcons. That's five. That's five underdog picks. I bet if you parlay that, it's going to look crazy. Five underdog picks for you guys. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at PodcastKev. You can follow and find us on Facebook at Gridiron Jabroni. Find us on Instagram at Gridiron Jabroni. Share the podcast. Tell your friends. Don't forget to message us. Send us some DMs. I'll answer your questions. Get interactive. I want to interact with you guys. I want I always hear people say, like, put me on your podcast. Put me on. This is your chance. This is literally your chance to be on my podcast. Direct message me. Send me a voice memo. Send me a text. I'll read it off. I'll get into a debate with you. I might call you. Who knows? But don't be such a bitch, all right? Just send the message. If you want to be, stop talking about it and be about it. That's my message for you guys. Thank you all so much.
Playoffs.
Great weekend of football.
Playoffs.
Have a great day.
Kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.